Hey, everybody. My conversation on the campus of San Diego State. These conversations have been viewed tens of millions of times. Chloe Cole is there, and we just have an open mic, and people come up. We disagree, sometimes agree, and we dive deep in the pursuit of truth. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, Charlie Kirk. It's very good to meet you. So let me figure out what I was going to say. So I've seen this one YouTube thumbnail that says Charlie Kirk believes that TikTok is turning children trans. Do you agree or disagree with the statement?
It is helping turn kids trans. Yeah, for sure.
Please explain why.
Well, so just I'm asking just. One curious, if you know, how many is Chloe Cole around here somewhere? Where's Chloe? I she would know the number. Do you have any idea of how many, like how dramatic the increase of trans identification is with youth in the last 5 years? It's up like 5,000%.
That is correct.
Yeah. So do we think that TikTok is playing a role in normalizing or finding at-risk autistic kids and making them think that they might have gender identification issues?
What I'm hearing for you is that you think that TikTok is finding these children and exposing them to trans ideas.
Not necessarily. The algorithm is just pushing things that people want, and it's obviously very persuasive content for a 14-year-old girl who's having puberty anxiety, shunned by her friends and might not have a great relationship with her parents, spending 6 to 7 hours on her phone, and all of a sudden videos start popping up saying, hey, have you ever felt uncomfortable in your body? Have you ever felt shunned by your peers? Let me tell you my story. My story is I was 15, and all of a sudden I started taking testosterone. That's very persuasive content for at-risk youth. Chloe, how much is the increase of transgender in the last couple of years?
About 2,000 to 4,000% in most teenage girls being referred to.
By the way, this is Chloe Cole. She's a detransitioner, everybody. So
hello.
She was sold the lie.
Say hello, everybody. Talk about TikTok and how it plays a role.
So in my experience, I learned about transgenderism through the internet at roughly about the age of 11 or 12. And, I mean, I first discovered it through social media. Through Instagram, through communities that were based around my own personal interests. So stuff like digital illustration, anime, TV shows that I watched, fairly innocent communities, right?
Mm.
But I noticed that there are a lot of users in these communities who were trans-identified. Many of them were young women around my age, around like between the ages of like 12 to like early 20s. And I mean, it captivated me because all these new terms with which somebody could like describe their identity with, right? And like the focus just on like self-expression and discovery and community. You know, I was like this young autistic girl, tomboyish, didn't really feel like she fit in. I had body image issues. And it felt like I found the explanation for as to why I felt so different from the women around me. That this was it. That I was really supposed to be a boy in a girl's body.
Hmm. Feel that they preyed upon you?
I mean, at the time, I wasn't really directly interacting with anybody when I first discovered this. It was just that sheer influence of all these ideas coming to me that made me feel as though I was actually supposed to be a boy. But as I started to go further into my medical transition, as I first started on puberty blockers, as I got my first injection of testosterone, and especially after at 15 when I underwent a double mastectomy and my breasts were surgically removed,
mm.
I felt more and more celebrated the further I went into it.
Okay, well, so what I'm hearing you say is that that TikTok led you to believe the wrong
idea.
Social media in general led you to believe the wrong idea, and it also, and that in turn made you go down a path that maybe wasn't right for you. And that's what I'm hearing from you.
I mean, it's beyond not right for me. This has left permanent effects on my body. I might not be able to have children. I don't have my breasts anymore. I have complications from the puberty blockers, the testosterone, and the surgery.
That's
3 years after I've stopped taking all of them.
And I'd like to thank you so much for having a detransitioner with you. I didn't expect that. And I'm but as I can hear that, okay, so there are people who do regret their transition. I'm not ignoring that. You here, what's your name?
Chloe,
you're an example of that. Chloe, you're an example of how detransitioning happens. But what I can't say is that this is not at all to detract from your story, but I would say that these cases are not as at all as prevalent as you seem. For example,
Chloe will have to respond to that. Go ahead. You want to finish your point?
Well, it is true that I'm very sorry to hear that there have been a lot of complications due to your medical transition. I'd also like to say that how old were you when you had these?
I was 13 when my puberty was blocked and when I was put on male hormones, and I went under surgery when I was 15.
This is happening thousands of times a day in this country right now.
I see. I'm very suspicious about okay. But
oh,
I understand.
Are you calling her a liar?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I am trans and I'm on HRT right now, and I can. I'm not sure who. I'm not saying that isn't common, but I am saying that goes against. I'm pretty sure a mastectomy goes. I'm pretty sure that's not in the trans guidelines of how people should transition.
Oh, it is.
No, it's 100%.
It's in the WPATH guidelines.
Look at WPATH guidelines that came out last year.
They've been lowering the age guidelines for years.
Okay. What I'm trying to say, my main point is, I'd like to say that you're wrong about about trans people being indoctrinated only through TikTok, because as you said, TikTok is based on what is put on there and what is pushed out to the media. Don't you think that people who puts out the media, the people who put out that media are people who are proud to be out and are proud to actually do the things that they enjoy, and that is mainly because there are people who and it's mainly because these people are more, they're more likely to be out because they're not going to be afraid to harass, and this lack of harassment is what leads to more people being out as trans. So that's what I'd like to say.
So, about my case being a fringe case, I mean, there's entire online communities dedicated to the subject of detransition. About 50,000 members in the official subreddit now. And I've met hundreds of other detransitioners, some of them who transition as adults, some of them who went through it, some even younger than I was, going through the medical process, and have come out of it with trauma.
I see.
Physical trauma and with emotional trauma that they're left with for life. Sterile, without parts of their bodies.
I want to thank you for coming up. I want to pray for you that if you all feel pause in your medical transition, it's never too late to stop.
Okay.
So thank you for coming up, and we're going to pray for you.
Thank you, Charlie Kirk!
All right, thank you. I mean that, okay? Thank you. Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing? I'm an econ major myself, and I was just wondering your opinion on the kind of social or the economic and political system in place in, like, Scandinavian countries, like Finland, Sweden. They have, like, a high happiness index, and I was just wondering, I understand you're a hardcore capitalist, and I was just wondering, like, your stances on the social democracy in place in Scandinavian
It's a great
countries.
Question. They do some things really, really well. They actually regulate less than we do. According to the Economic Freedom Index, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark are actually more economically free than we are. They do tax a lot. I'll give you that. One of the test cases is not applicable, which is Norway. Do you know what funds the Norwegian government?
No.
Yeah, fossil fuels. They have a $1.7 trillion sovereign wealth fund. It's the largest on the planet, basically fracking on the northern part of Norway. So that's its own test case. So it's easy to have socialism when you fund your entire government in that regard. But the most instructive part of the Scandinavian countries is that they used to have incredibly strict immigration, and they don't any longer. And when you have widespread mass immigration, you're going to have issues. And so as far as from a budgetary standpoint, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, for years they had to not pay anything for a national military because we subsidized them via NATO and basically having military bases all across Europe. So they save a bunch of money on that. They had a very homogenous population, and so they were able to restrict immigration flows. They had a high-trust society, not because of homogeneity. They just had – because there are homogeneous countries that don't have high-trust societies, like a lot of African countries. But a high-trust society is a society where you don't feel like you have to lock your doors. You can, you know, basically leave your kid out in the street when you go shopping. If you think that's a joke, by the way, in Copenhagen, Stockholm, Oslo, and Helsinki, it is common practice for moms to leave their kids outside literally in the stroller while they go shopping or they go and eat. It is common. You see it all the time if you walk the streets of Scandinavia. That's like an unforeseen concept in America, right? So that's a high-trust society. We have a low-trust society. So I think the story of the Scandinavia is far more complex than people would give it, but I'll grant you that they have higher taxation and much more generous social benefits than we do in this country.
Do you think that potentially lowering taxation, which I would assume you're potentially in favor of, would be beneficial for the Scandinavian countries, or do you think that their high taxation rates, including everything you just said, is actually like when they work together is actually one of the reasons why their happiness index is so high?
Yeah, I'm not one to tell them how to run their country. I mean, it depends like what kind of country you want. And so they have a different ethos in Sweden and in Norway and Finland than we do. They do not have like the Swedish dream. They have a belief called tall poppy syndrome, specifically in the Netherlands, but it's also in Denmark, which is that no one is greater than all of us. It's very collectivist. Some people like that. I don't. I want to be able to flourish and succeed and take big risks, and I think that's the best part about liberty. Liberty is not a core value of Scandinavia. So it depends on what kind of country you want. They want stability, and they want normalcy, and they want – and some of that, honestly, I think we're missing in this country. I think our country is way too chaotic, and it's out of control. I think we could learn something about, you know, not taking work as seriously in this country, which I happen to love work, but not everyone's, you know, wired that way. But I also – one of the other reasons why they're such a happy country is they have low crime. And low crime leads to happier people. It does. You're able to walk the streets at night. You don't have to worry about, you know, locking your doors all the time and having these complex security systems. And then finally, it is not fair to say they are only happy because of government benefits. I'm sure that's part of it. But they're also, they have different incentives and different structures. I'm sure if I went around the audience here, some of you guys want to start your own business and get rich and, you know, do all these sorts of things. That's not really a normal Norwegian aspiration. Right. In fact, there's only one billionaire in the entire country of Norway. There's one. Okay. Right? We have, what, 485 of them? I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying when you get liberty, you get inequality. So one of the life lessons is you cannot have liberty without inequality. And if you think you can, you're wrong. And so you have to accept the unequal outcomes if you have freedom or liberty. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah,
so.
Awesome. Thank you. And if I could just clarify one more thing. The previous econ student that came here was, I think, maybe like a year and a semester in. This is my last semester, and we actually do learn about Milton Friedman, von Mises, and free market.
Positively? Or?
Yeah. At least my professor.
Good. I stand corrected then. That's great.
Yeah, but awesome.
Thank you for the correction. I appreciate it.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you so much for being here. Good. So I wanted to speak on behalf of young women. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I'm an entrepreneur, business owner. I've come out of homelessness, overdose, addiction, all those kinds of things. Wow. And now being here and also witnessing what's happening in our communities for people that are going through sexual assault, trafficking, free things are being handed out to people. What are things that we can do as the young generation to be able to promote and help people understand that people that are coming across that are illegal, getting their ability to get free housing and get all this free stuff is not actually beneficial for our generation. It's actually hurting us even more.
Boy, we're being invaded on a daily basis. It needs to be repeated. It's 15,000 people a day that are coming across the border that we know of. It is worse than anyone can imagine or comprehend. Look, let's just take one element of it. I mean, a fraction of that number are people that are basically in modern day slavery. And we're lectured all the time that slavery was the worst thing in the 1800s, and it was. It's evil. Where is the outrage for modern-day slavery happening on the southern border? It is indecipherable when you have an 8-year-old that's coming from Honduras that is purchased by a cartel, and they're trafficked into this country either for sex or labor reasons, and they're legitimately purchased and transacted. I don't see a lot of protests on campus about that. I see a lot of protests against Israel. But I don't see a lot of anger against the modern-day slave trade happening on the southern border. And you guys can come take, you know, a drive down to the southern border if you want with us anytime. You know, you can go visit the rape tree right there in Nahalis, where every day there are hundreds of women that are brought to the rape tree, and they're raped by cartel members, and then they're brought across the border. Anyone who comes illegally as a female, they know you better travel with Plan B. Because you will get raped 2 to 3 times on that voyage across. The Biden administration is subsidizing this. They are allowing it to happen. It is one of the great social crimes of our time, and complete silence from the media and from the activist class.
Absolutely. So would you say that based on college being a scam and anybody here that wants to, and I'm a full testament of this, you can and go be anything that you would like to be in this country, like Charlie was talking about, with liberty, because you don't just get to come out of homelessness and getting out of the military and being stuck in a country in the middle of COVID and not knowing what to do with yourself, but then being able to grow your own business and actually being successful. That can only happen here in America. And so for anybody that, for Charlie, for you, what would you say for advice that you would give yourself if you were someone who wanted to start a business but didn't know where to start?
Start a business. It depends on what it is. But look, I think we need more entrepreneurs and more business owners in this country, to be honest. Find a problem that people have. So here's the best way to get rich. It's super simple. Find something that someone's complaining about all the time and then solve their problem. That's how you get rich.
Absolutely.
Because people are willing to pay money to have their problem solved.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster, but it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now, blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie, or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out, promo code Charlie.
Hi, I'm wondering what your intentions are. Sorry, I'm new to you in this, and I was just intrigued.
Sure. hear from different ideas and see where we agree and disagree. So,
yeah. What's like your purpose, though? Like communication, yes, but like what ideas are you trying to bring or like help people understand?
Conservative ones, traditional like, American ones.
Oh, okay. Like traditional conservatism or like modern conservative right wing because they like switched.
I don't like labels, so you can ask me about a topic.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's only two sexes, no genders, infinite personalities. Life begins at conception. We should deport all the illegals. Right? Oh. The mRNA gene-altering shot called the vaccine killed a lot of people and is currently poisoning a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
So these are just some of my opinions. So
you think it'll, like, make the country better? Like, what are you...
Yeah, I mean, I hope that, number one, I want to support our amazing Turning Point USA chapter here, where
right.
they feel outnumbered and isolated. Number two, we're promoting our event tonight, so I hope you guys show up. Where's our event? It's, like, in the Montezuma Hall or something. Yeah, it's great. Montezuma, whatever. And number three is I want to see where I might be wrong, strengthen my arguments, and anybody can say anything to me. I think that free speech is the last best hope we have in Western society.
Nice. Okay, then I have a question about, like, women's rights.
Please.
In America. I just want to hear what you think.
Sure.
Like, where you think we're at, how you think we could better
yeah.
them.
Can you, just so I know where you're coming from, can
right.
you tell me what is a woman?
Oh, that's a great question. I would classify a woman as somebody with a womb and or a vagina. Sometimes
okay.
people are born with either one or the other. But.
Good. We agree. Yes. Yeah. So as far as women's rights, I don't separate rights based on sex. So you have to tell me what you mean based on that. So.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So do you believe that there's a difference right now in like people's rights and
No. I mean, there's male-female differences, but there are no male rights or women. Can you give me an example
of... Oh, okay, like patriarchy. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Do you believe that we live in a patriarchy and it negatively affects women?
No.
No.
Yeah, so for example,
yeah.
men are more likely to commit suicide.
Yeah.
More likely to die at work. More likely to declare bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Women are far less likely to be in credit card debt. Far more likely to graduate from college.
Yeah.
Far more likely to get a high-paying job.
Do you think that the... That's a really good point. Do you think that the suicide rates or the depression rates and the bankruptcy rates that you just mentioned regarding men have to do with the fact that men are pushed to be less open about their emotions? They're less available to being able to communicate how they feel with others. They're taught to be more violent and be more physically harmful to themselves and others. And do you think that pushes them towards suicide, depression, and bankruptcy?
I think it's the opposite. I think that we're teaching men to be metrosexual versions of their former selves.
What does metrosexual mean to you?
Indecipherable between a man and woman.
Oh.
So,
what's a man and woman to you? What's the difference between them?
Well, a man isn't, you're looking at a man, and I think I'm looking at a woman, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice,
right?
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
yeah,
thank you. There's, there's characteristics, archetypes, but we have differences. There are significant male-female differences. I think
like
those,
what?
Well, men tend to be more assertive. Women tend to be more agreeable.
Innately or taught?
Innately, and I wouldn't say
innately
taught.
Based on what science?
Well, just for example, if we look at artificial intelligence scanned over 10,000 brains using a SPECT scan
yeah.
and was able to determine male-female differences 95% of the time of different brain functions based on basal ganglia, amygdala,
do you know the age?
Cerebellum.
Because interestingly enough,
ages
I read
14
a study.
To 22. Yeah.
Okay, 14 to 22. I read a study recently that before the age of 10, brains are... neuroscientists are unable to be able to tell the difference in gender based on the brain, but at a certain point, the social implications that children are taught start making them act differently. But it's been shown that if a man or a woman were given the same... Okay, have you heard that men are they have more spatial awareness, like, in their brain? Have you heard that one?
I think that's probably true, yeah.
Yeah. So we learned that if women are given a month of the same practices as children that men are given or allowed to do, whether it comes to what they're playing, the media they're intaking, like, what they're told and how they're told to act, that women have the same spatial awareness ability as men. So we're finding that innately the brain is the same, but because of the social constructs that we're taught on men and women and how they're supposed to act, their brain ability to activate certain parts changes. So by 14, the brain
yeah.
does seem different.
You raise kids?
Tell me.
Have you ever raised kids?
No, I have six nieces and nephews,
yeah.
though, men and women.
You couldn't be more wrong. if you're even around a two-year-old boy and two-year-old girl, it's not a matter of what they're taught. The girls are running to the dresses. The boys are running to the guns. You know who agrees with me? One of the leading feminists of the 60s and 70s, Gloria Steinem, who wrote Feminist Mystique.
Yes, and I've read that.
Even she, who was like a hardcore genderist taught, when she raised her kids, she was like, oh my goodness, there is a fundamental innate difference between men and women. And it's not just brain structure.
Right.
It's testosterone, it's estradiol, okay. It's estrogen production, it is hormone levels, it is all, and there, I could just prove it. If you sit down to a young with a young lady, they're far more likely to talk about micro topics, and men are more likely to talk about macro topics.
What's the difference between micro and macro?
Great question.
Topic?
So if I sat down with a young lady, she'd be much more likely to talk about friends, relationships, and things that are very intimate to her. A young man would be more likely to talk about the weather, sports, or the stock market, or politics.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's not taught. That is innate. That is innate into our bioprogramming.
What is bioprogramming?
How we were designed.
What do you mean, how we're designed?
I mean, I believe that there's a creator that designed us and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you might not agree. I mean, just how you were born, yeah. I could even say, just to come to common ground on that.
Oh, okay, so the creator chose that men and women have separate roles and it's innate.
Well, not just separate roles, but made differently. And out of being made differently, you get different roles.
Right. So if science proves that the other way, do you rely on creator over science?
But science has done the opposite. So, for example, in a Harvard study, they put 50 women in a room alone, and they put 50 men in the room alone.
What age?
Not relevant, but around 25, right?
Relevant.
Okay. So.
No, sorry. I'm actually having so much fun.
Okay.
Sorry. Keep going.
So if you really I'm fascinated that you think that eight-year-olds' brains are infinitely neuroplastic. But we'll get to that, back to that later.
No. So. When they're like babies. By 8 years old, you're already going through school and you've had so many relationships. They're definitely affected.
But again, if you were right, John Money would have been proven right. But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
So, that test has been replicated so many times. And even the Dutch, who are like the most progressive on this, have gotten away from the idea of tabula rasa that boys and girls are born similarly with brain differences. But we'll agree to disagree on that. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Rough Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Rough Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Rough Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead. And Rough Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk. But anyway, 25-year-olds were put into a room, okay?
Right.
And they said, men, what do you think about when they're alone? No surprise, sports and sex,
yeah.
Right? Young ladies, what do you think about in the room alone for 30 minutes just by themselves? They replayed prior conversations that they had. For the record, no man in the history of the species has replayed conversations that we had and thought about them when we were alone in a room. Like, what conversation? What was this person said? Women are far more relational, micro, than men. And that's just based on how our design is.
Whoa. I think that you just lied that all men don't think that's such a
it's called a joke. I'm sure there's a man somewhere that recollected on a conversation.
Well, I didn't know that in a dialect that's a debate based on science and you're talking about a study that would you implement a joke that's based on a
yes truth? Humor is a tool of a rhetorician to try to get people you know to chuckle a little levity. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Do you think testosterone and estrogen play into people's ability to have drive, ambition, feelings? Do you think testosterone and estrogen are important?
Yes.
Okay, so then if women are lower in testosterone and higher in estrogen and men are lower in estrogen and higher in testosterone, wouldn't that, independent of society's framing, play into the idea that there are natural differences between the two?
I think that it definitely plays into the idea that there are natural differences. And I think there are natural differences. I just think to an extent that as a society, we've decided that men, because they have more testosterone and we've known testosterone makes people more aggravated, that or what's aggravated, I'll just leave it.
Aggressive?
Aggressive, yes, sure.
I'll take aggressive.
Yeah, thank you. That it makes people or men more aggressive, that we've decided that that means that men are not in control of their moral ability or their ability to choose what they're going to do. So it becomes like men have more testosterone, but they still have the ability to choose to treat people better or with less aggression. Like it's not, it's like, oh, men don't have the ability to make those choices. That's almost like downplaying men's ability by saying that they just have to give in to their aggression.
I'm not contesting that. The mark of a true man is one who can control himself.
Okay.
Do you think that you could all, do you think there's a problem of trying to turn women too masculine?
Turning women too masculine. What's masculine for you?
Well, let's just say not agreeable, forceful, aggressive, aggressive in the best possible term, forward thinking, more macro, more visionary, less feeling based, mm-hmm. more rational, more yearning towards reason and dialogue and less towards compassion or the ethos.
And what's feminine to you?
The inverse of that. So more on the emotion side, less macro, more micro, much
so
more.
So women are just what men are not?
No, they're different sides of a species coin, right? So you have a human species, you have a male and female,
yeah.
And there's differences. So I could also posit it separately. A woman is more compassionate, a man is less compassionate. So there's two ways to word it. But
right.
Do you think that there's a problem about trying to force women to be too masculine?
No, I don't think there's a problem.
Okay. Well, I disagree. We have a crisis in this country. Why do you think that we have so many unmarried young 30-something women? It's the most in the history of recorded data.
That's a good question. I don't know if I've ever pondered why we have unmarried women.
Why do you think that it's the young women are the most depressed, alcohol addicted, and psychiatric drug addicted in history?
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. The most miserable they've ever been. I'm just curious, why do you think that is?
Yeah, I guess I would say that I think it's because, like, the society that we live in, right, like capitalistic, consumeristic, where there's, like, constant processing and overconsumption, that includes, like, drugs, alcohol, like, the overconsumption.
So women going into the workforce a lot could create a lot of depression for them.
Yeah, same with men.
Okay, but then shouldn't women, like, I don't know, stay at home and have children and do what they're designed to do?
Men are also...
Wouldn't that make them happier?
...have the most depression that they have right now in this
yes,
country.
I agree.
So you can make the same argument for men you just made for women.
I'm asking questions. I'm saying maybe the men are upset because the women that they're trying to date are more interested in taking care of cats and trying to become partner at the local law firm.
Yeah.
And they say, I don't want to get married till I'm 30. And maybe that creates a sense of despondency when a young male being raised in this country sees everything rigged against them.
So do you not believe that women should be working?
Of course. I believe in liberty. I'm just asking, has there been an unintended tragedy where we have the most financially successful 30 to 35-year-old cohort of young women in history?
And men.
Well, again, the women...
In history. Like, men and women are the most sick and depressed.
The women are far more depressed than the men. The men are depressed.
But you just said that the men were more depressed, and that's why their suicide
and
depression rates are higher.
And they're largely more suicidal.
So they're more suicidal, but they're less depressed?
One sec. No, they're more successful at committing suicide than women.
Oh,
that's a big difference. Okay. Women commit suicide. Women, no, it's true. Women try to commit suicide more,
yeah.
And yet women will go through 3 or 4 attempted suicide attempts. Men usually only one. You can
yeah.
look it up. It's just the way it is. But I'm just curious, what is it about the 30 to 35-year-old female? Do you think there might be something missing? Do you think that there's like this biological urge to get married and procreate that we might have been suppressing? Because it is the least child, it's the childless, least married cohort in the history of the country.
Yeah. I believe that marriage and reproduction are beautiful things.
Good.
I do.
Do you think we should encourage it more for young women?
I think we could encourage, like, a deeper understanding of people's individual sense of self. And then through that, if people can better understand their wants and needs and become more self-aware about who they are and what they need, that ultimately they would lead them to, like, better and more efficient decision-making for themselves.
Okay. And
whether or not that means marriage.
Last question. You posited this. How would you define the patriarchy?
Oh, the patriarchy. So patriarchy, like the epistemology of the word.
Or just like, if do you believe it exists in the country today? Or?
Yeah, I believe patriarchy exists. Patriarchy comes from pater, right? Pater means father in Latin. So patriarchy is father over or men over. So it's like a men ruling, right? So we see it in the fact that God or the divinity is represented as men, which was only happened like halfway through the history of humans. So it was like a matrilineal matriarchy society for a while. We see it in the fact that women take men's last name. We see it in the way that men are viewed, or like men view women, and how women kind of have to adhere to the way that men want them to be portrayed. And I agree with you that porn is, what'd you say?
Toxic. Poison.
Toxic, yeah. And I think that's an aspect of the patriarchy, right? Like, if you go on a porn website, which I'm sure you haven't in a while. But if
not
you,
in a while. I used to be addicted, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, congrats.
And I encourage everyone to break free of that addiction. It's
terrible
for you.
Yeah, me too. That's great. Proud of you for that one. Yeah, but if you go on a porn website, you can see that like the view of all of the porn is from the perspective of a man, and it's of a woman. And these kinds of aspects show that right now we live in a society where it's a man's view, it's men over. So like we're all taking on.
Yeah, I thank you for that.
First
on the porn thing, 85% of people that consume porn are men, so they're obviously going to shoot it in a way that is more attuned to men. For example,
what if it was shooted for women and then they started watching porn?
Then they would change the perspective because they're in it to make money. The same reason why Lifetime movies don't have rock and roll music, and they tend to be very like uplifting, flowery, emotional based, and hyper feminine in the writing, because most people that watch Lifetime movies are women.
What's Lifetime movie?
Okay, a Lifetime movie is like a feel-good movie on cable TV that has like a very poorly written narrative and usually ends in some sort of
like
overlay.
Hallmark?
Yeah, like Hallmark.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's the best way I could
got play. It.
But thank you for the dialogue. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks you too.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. All right. We'll take a couple more, then I got to run, and then tonight, Montezuma.
Okay, Charlie, quick question.
Yes.
So, if we keep sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, would the odds be high that we would be attacked by an EMP?
I don't know. Yeah, you guys should all prepare. You got enough to worry about. An electromagnetic pulse might be coming very soon. It's very scary. So I would say that it's increasing by the day. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and then any other disagreements, and then we'll cut it off. Yes.
Super nice talking to you. Yeah. I kind of have like a moral dilemma I've been thinking about. I come from a primarily Christian-based home,
yep.
Pentecost, all that good stuff. And I lived by the border for a while, like super close. And my question is from like a Christian perspective from your end, how would you feel like if you were at the border and you saw, you know, a migrant family coming over illegally, how would you deal with that? Would you just, you know, kindly don't come in from like a Christian perspective?
Yeah, I would send them home.
I would too.
Yeah. Right. I mean, first of all, they're invading and they're breaking the law.
Right.
I mean, if they're like, if someone was coming across the border and they had a gashing like head wound, I would treat it. Mm-hmm. I'd get them help.
Right.
And then I'd get them deported back to their country of origin.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't try to hurt them bodily. I wouldn't try to be cruel, unusual about it. Mm-hmm. I'd say, look, you're breaking the law. You're cutting in line. You're trying to squat in our country. Mm-hmm. Go apply like the rest of the people from Singapore, Vietnam, Hungary, India, and South Africa have to do. You don't get to cut in line just because you get to live closer.
Right. And I just want to say one last thing in like addition to that. As growing up in that area, you know, it's a huge myth that they're coming over here. They get helped out a lot. Like, I saw it firsthand. They came to school with the new Jordans, you know, the new iPhones and whatnot. And, you know, I see my family struggling. My dad was in the military, and it was kind of like, you know, what's going on? And I had friends that were illegal that told me, you know, the government just gives my parents money every month.
Yep.
Kind of just going off of that. But I just want to say that, and thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Look, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.